Good morning. This is Will Seaman, and this is a special KABU Public Affairs program. Today we're talking about our own neighborhood, North Portland, actually. The controversy over Interstate Avenue, the renaming of that street to Cesar Chavez Avenue. This was a process that began some time ago. It has appeared in the editorial pages of the Oregonian and in stories throughout the city's commercial media, but in ways that, at least as far as this reporter has been able to discern, in ways that have been missing some key elements of this controversy and this conflict. With us today is Maria Elisa Johnson, who is the executive director of the Latino Network, and we're going to be talking about how this process began and how we came to the current impasse. Maria Elisa, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Will.
For many of our listeners, I think, sadly, they are completely unaware of how this process began, why it began, and the character of the opposition to this name change. We, of course, have seen the names change of a very prominent street in Portland to Martin Luther King Boulevard, and more recently, the creation of Rosa Parks Boulevard here in North Portland. Why has this become such a controversy? And if you could, just bring us up to speed in terms of the basics of this process of changing a street name here in North Portland.
The process began in January, although the idea had been circulating among Latino circles for at least a decade. And a committee of folks got together and began looking at options for name changes. So they looked at several streets. They were given some direction about which streets could and couldn't be changed, and went before City Council on September 5th, I believe, to get direction from City Council about how to proceed. And City Council unanimously approved a 5-week public involvement process, and thus began the public involvement around the North Portland neighborhoods. They were directed to get input from each of the North Portland neighborhoods and also to hold public forums.
That suggests that the City Council had laid out a process for the organizations, and we could talk maybe a little bit about the organizations that have moved forward with this effort to change the name of Interstate Avenue. But the City Council set out a fairly clear process for bringing about this name change. And as you said, the vote was unanimous in terms of directing the groups that you're working with how they should go about moving forward on this name change. So could you talk a little bit about those groups and as well what then happened at these neighborhood meetings?
Well, the committee isn't actually represented by different organizations, although it has the endorsements of a number of organizations. It is a group of volunteer leaders from the Latino community and from other communities. And as you say, they began conducting a public involvement process first by calling the different businesses along Interstate and also seeking endorsements from various organizations, and then went to both Overlook and Arbor Lodge neighborhood associations and Kenton Neighborhood Association. Kenton approved initially, endorsed the name change, but then they had they didn't follow their own process in terms of endorsement, and so they had to renege on the endorsement, which was an unfortunate situation. But at the Overlook Neighborhood Association, committee members, again, you know, followed through with what they had been asked by council, and four of them went to present to Overlook, four Latino members of the committee, actually three Latino members and one from Kenton Neighborhood Association. They were met by 200 mostly Anglo neighbors within Overlook who were very upset about the name change. And what I hear from what happened at that meeting, the committee was laughed at, booed at, jeered at. Some of the suggestions coming from the audience included, how about naming the corner of Killingsworth? There's a little strip of a park there, which is pretty heavily drug infested. Why don't you name that little plaza? How about taking it to TV Highway? This is a proposal to ghettoize our neighborhood. Aside from those insults, there were some very personal insults that the committee members received from the different folks that were in the audience. The children of one of the committee members had been invited to come and observe what a neighborhood association process is like. And at one point during the meeting, a fire marshal walked back to the back of the room and stood by them saying, I realize that's your mother up there, and I'm going to just stand here next to you so that you feel safe. It was that hostile. So committee members went ahead. They obviously did not receive the endorsement of Overlook. At the second meeting in Arbor Lodge, the same thing occurred. These two meetings were then followed by two public forums at Ockley Green on October 3rd and 9th, which were, I would say, embarrassing platforms for racist behavior within the North Portland community.
So early on, it seems that, and this was the most frightening element, I think, of this entire experience, that there was a very overt racist element to the opposition. And yet, if you, for example, go to the website that has been created by the opposition to this name change, the main argument that is presented there is the cost of getting new stationery for the businesses along Interstate. And this seems to be a dramatic disconnection between the way this issue is being represented in the local commercial media, for example, in the Oregonian's editorial on Saturday, November 3rd, they focused exclusively on the committee that has been pushing for this name change and have emphasized how you have been so seemingly inflexible in terms of your approach to this conflict. And yet there's no mention of this rather frightening racist element in terms of the opposition. And I wonder if you could comment on both the importance of understanding how this issue has been racialized and the prejudices and bigotries that have been expressed and how that transforms the issue, and as well comment on how you have been so unfairly portrayed in the local commercial media.
I think what happened in North Portland very quickly was that people learned to change their message after Overlook. They no longer were talking overtly about moving the street to a part of town that was more acceptable or more, run down. They learned to change their message so that the racism was more thinly veiled. What isn't recognized in the local media is that people are giving themselves permission to state what is and whose right it is to name a street, whose right it is to make history in Portland, and whose right it isn't, who has a right to stay and who must leave, who has the right to exercise a cultural presence, a political presence, and who does not. And those are elements of racism that are, to us, very, very tangible, but yet they're so institutionalized in Portland that they don't seem apparent to the folks who are actually articulating these positions. I would say about the cost, every street naming has a 3 to 5 year process whereby the streets then slowly change the name. The argument that businesses are stating that they would have to incur extensive costs in terms of letterhead, business card, signage are really non-issues in that they have the time to actually run out of that stationery, the business cards. There's sufficient time to make the change. As you can see on Rosa Parks Boulevard, both names are still up there and will be up there for at least 3 years. So giving the opportunity to folks to continue to receive mail at those addresses and use the addresses until the name change can fully be implemented. The other thing that's happening in North Portland, and it happens throughout the city, is an attitude that, and surely, I mean, this is part of what changed in the message from North Portlanders, was that in the second forum at Ockley Green, they were savvy to say, well, you know, we really admire Cesar Chavez, and we really think that, yes, he is a hero, but we don't want the name to occur on North Interstate. And at one point during the forum, Commissioner Sam Adams asked the owner of the Nighthawk, okay, so what other streets could be changed then? And he said, well, how about you try and take it to Northwest Portland or Broadway? I don't think that anyone in Portland will want that. So in essence, he is reflecting an attitude that I have personally witnessed over time in Portland, which is not in my backyard, not anywhere in Portland. I don't think that extending a process to explore different streets would get us anywhere else. That's exactly what happened with Martin Luther King, the name change of Martin Luther King from Union Avenue. That committee was also forced to explore different avenues, different streets, before they came back to the same street that they started at. And there was an just caustic positioning on the part of the neighborhoods that they would not allow the name change to happen anywhere. So when they got their 5-0 vote in favor of the name change, the neighborhood took them to the Supreme Court. Extending a public process further opens wounds and allows a platform for racist Portlanders to continue to abuse our community.
This is the way the issue has been framed in the commercial media. And if we could talk a little bit perhaps about this latest editorial, which struck me, one would imagine that after a few years living in this town that nothing the Oregonian published would surprise you anymore. But I have to say, as I read this, the way it is framed by the Oregonian is so completely one-sided. And I don't think there is a single mention of the deeply hurtful levels of racism that were expressed at these neighborhood meetings. And just as you say, the fact that the messaging has changed does not put that ugly genie back into the bottle. And it is very much now a part of this discussion about, as you say, extending the process is the call from a couple of city council people that we need to look at this more deeply and broaden the scope of which streets we might consider for this name change. But I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about how it is being framed in the media and how inaccurate a picture most Portlanders are getting of this conflict.
Most Portlanders have not been at the forums that we were at. And I do believe that this is no longer a discussion about North Interstate Avenue. It is a discussion about power and race and who has power in the city. The editorial that came out, written by the editorial board in the Oregonian, was an indication of that. It is easy for folks who are in power to discount and excuse our leadership as immature, unprepared, inflexible, and stubborn. And yet, with the action that we took to inform other folks that are allies within the communities of color, the immigrant communities, and allied communities, I think we gave them a hit. And for them to refer to our community as not having, they're actually right. We don't have the power. There would be no amount of public process that could bring a majority of our community to vote down the white community. We're not a majority in this city. We weren't asked for a plebiscite. I think at this point in time, what is important is to do what is right. And the media is currently focusing on a public process, and not enough public process has occurred, and not enough citizen, or the commission hasn't heard from enough citizens about the renaming. We're saying they had an opportunity to hear from over 500 folks in North Portland where the renaming would take place. We're also saying that those processes were ugly, they were deeply racist and hurtful, and extending that would only provide an additional platform for that to continue. There were young people in the room, there were children in the room. I actually had to leave with my daughter because I couldn't expose her to that any longer. So what more can I say?
It does strike me that, just as you say, what has stopped this process, which had been going forward in precisely the manner and according to the outline that the city council had approved prior to this explosion at these neighborhood meetings, is that this process has been held hostage by a small number of quite overtly racist neighbors and by a large population that has been seriously miseducated about what's at stake. And it's in that sense that it strikes me as surprising that you have a courageous mayor, a truly courageous mayor, who has shown himself courageous on this particular issue on at least one other occasion prior to that, and that is the strong statement he made in opposition to these ICE raids, these immigration service raids that took place here in our town when he spoke out so strongly against those. And in this case, he has taken what appears to be a very principled stand in support of this name change, and that he has then confronted two city council commissioners, Randy Leonard and Sam Adams, who have been essentially persuaded by this very racist reaction from the neighborhoods, and have essentially held the process hostage because of that. Is that an inaccurate way of understanding what's taken place here?
I think commissioners, having laid out the process themselves, were not happy about the outcome. And so now the rules are changing, which is a typical way of dealing with opposition, and particularly with the opposition that we've presented to them in the past. They laid out a 5-week process. It was clear the committee got input. When they received the extreme opposition that they say that they did, the rules changed. And what's at stake here is, well, there are commissioners that are running for office. Certainly the pressures from the neighborhoods weigh in on their decision to continue and do the right thing or to backtrack on this public process that they themselves set up. What's at stake also is the future of race relations in the city. I think, as I said before, this name change is no longer about the street. It is about how we define Portland as a diverse city or not. It is about how the white men who are in power in city council determine what is the future of the city, this diverse and growingly diverse city, and what positions they take in response to that. And it's also about the young people who may or may not see themselves reflected in this city, because, as you know, the city is mostly white. There are few symbols that represent other cultures. Our community is growing in the city, and there are no symbols that reflect us. There are no symbols from which we draw our strength here, and Interstate as Cesar Chavez Boulevard would be one of those symbols. I would say that Mayor Potter's position, I applaud Mayor Potter's position and the actions that he took in city council when he walked out and discussed over the deal making that was going on right during council. He has been one of the few mayors nationally to support outwardly the position and to support the Latino community without question. His position on the raids was he was one of the few leaders in the Portland area that took that position, along with Representative Tina Kotek, that outwardly came forth and criticized the immigration services for conducting that raid. He's also been one of the few mayors to openly and without reserve support the naming of a street to Cesar Chavez without faltering in the face of opposition.
Now, we have limited time this morning, but I want to make sure KBOO listeners know that this topic is going to be talked about again on Tuesday, November 13th, on The Morning Show with Abe and Joe, and that's going to be from 7:30 till 8:30, possibly till 9. It's certainly an important issue. It's certainly an issue that ought to be of concern, regardless of which neighborhood you live in here in Portland, and I would argue also throughout the state of Oregon. This is really, especially within the context of the current assault on immigrant rights in this country, and the racist climate that has been encouraged by people like Bill O'Reilly and Michael Savage and Lars Larson and Lou Dobbs, all of these people who have vast audiences that they are talking about the immigrant issue and characterizing it in such a disparaging and racist manner. This issue locally surely is something that is important to us. I know we don't have a lot of time left to talk about this, but what in particular can folks do to try to inform themselves better about this issue? Is there some material, some website? How can people better inform themselves? That is prior to next Tuesday's program with Abe and Joe.
I encourage folks to check out the website that the Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard Committee has. We will try and post additional information about these stories that are coming out of the public processes that have been undertaken. Also, question the media. The media, I mean, has never really, particularly the mainstream media, has never really expressed the progressive position very effectively. And so question that. Contact us, contact committee folks, talk to people who've been there.
Now, we only have a little bit of time left. I want to mention again that this discussion is going to continue Tuesday morning, November 13th, with Abe and Joe, 7:30 in the morning till 8:30, possibly a little longer. But earlier in this conversation, I had said that Randy Leonard and Sam Adams had essentially allowed themselves to be held hostage by this very racist response to the effort to change the name of Interstate Avenue. But in fact, they've now taken a very active role in obstructing the process as it ought to have been and was expected to move forward. Could you talk a little bit more about that part of the conflict?
Yes, well, that's exactly what's going on. In fact, one of the arguments that commissioners are making and that is also being articulated in the media is that the committee is the obstacle. But in reality, committee members have followed the democratic process exactly as it was laid out for them. And that is why the mayor is calling for a vote. He's indicating that the committee deserves an up or down vote, having completed the public process. Unfortunately, Sam Adams is running for office. Our sense is that his proposals to delay the process and form a blue ribbon panel will get him past the primary so that he doesn't have to articulate a public position on this. It's a very paternalistic approach. We're seeing this in the media as well, a total dismissal of people's work. It's not much different than the position that Henry Kissinger took when the people of Chile elected Salvador Allende as their democratically elected leader. And he stated something to the effect of, we give them the opportunity to elect their own leaders, and then they proceed irresponsibly. In essence, a reaction to an outcome that he didn't like.
So I'm assuming that you'd like to get additional public input on this. That is to say, if people do support this name change and they want to see this go forward, that they should be getting in touch with the city council here in Portland, both to express support to Mayor Potter, but also to try to persuade the other commissioners to vote in favor of this change. What should people be doing?
People should be calling commissioners and emailing them. They have been receiving an overwhelmingly negative response. We need the folks to come forward who are with us, who think differently, to express their opinions to these folks.
Well, we've come to the end of this half hour. It's not nearly enough time to deal with this very important issue. There have been some other KBOO News and Public Affairs programs on this. We hope there'll be more, regardless of the outcome. And again, listeners, please tune in Tuesday morning, November 13th, 7:30 a.m. for Joe and Abe. They will have some guests talking about this issue and providing yet another forum, hopefully, to inform people a little bit better about this conflict in our community. And I'd like to thank Mary Elisa Johnson, the Executive Director of the Latino Network. Thank you so much for being with us. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Thanks, Will. I really appreciate the opportunity to get these different perspectives out there. I appreciate KBOO listeners for their support and for their willingness to question the mainstream media. And for those out there who are buying into the statement that's reflected in the media over and over that the committee is stubborn, that it's not approachable, that's not the case. Please take the opportunity to give us a call. We'd be happy to tell you the stories.
And once again, we've been talking with Maria Elisa Johnson, the executive director of the Latino Network here in Portland. We've been talking about the proposed name change for North Interstate Avenue to Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. I had said earlier Cesar E. Chavez Avenue. The name change is to Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. And this conversation will continue Tuesday morning, November 13th, with the morning show here on KBOO with Abe and Joe. That's Tuesday, November 13th, 7:30 in the morning, very likely until 8:30, perhaps a bit longer, talking about this name change, talking about the controversy and the importance of this issue to all neighborhoods in Portland, Oregon. We mentioned a website. To find out more, I urge you to visit this website. That website is Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. There is a middle initial E. CesarEChavezBoulevard.com. And I urge all of our listeners to go visit there, and in particular, to take a look at the very moving letters that have been written in support of this name change. Very moving letters that, again, provide a broader and deeper perspective on why this is an important issue for everyone here in Portland. And this has been a KBOO Public Affairs special. I've been your host, Will Seaman. Thank you for tuning in.